Letter to the Hebrews, chapter 12, and I read verse 16. Hebrews, chapter 12, and verse 16. Looking diligently, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who, for one morsel of meat, sold his birthright. My subject tonight is, don't be like Esau. Don't be like Esau. It is a heart-searching text, and I believe it is a warning, but it is also an exhortation, but it is also a pleading. Don't be like Esau. We read Genesis chapter 25, verse 34, one of the saddest verses of the Bible. This man, Esau, after eating that pottage or stew, that morsel of meat, eating, drinking, he left. He rose up and he walked away in his way. That's the difference. Not in God's way, but in his way. So when we come to Genesis, to Hebrews chapter 12 here, because this is really the New Testament interpretation of what has happened in Genesis 25, we are given earlier in chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11, we are given the whole fame of so many notorious godly people. This world was not even worthy, we are told, to have such men walking their steps into this world. Good examples of many, many men and women. But now you come to Hebrews chapter 12 here, you find a bad example, a bad one. And the person is Esau. And Esau, the best picture I can give you, my dear friends, Esau represents everyone who is without the Lord Jesus Christ. With the gentlest way, in the kindest way, this is your name tonight. If you do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, your name is Esau. It represents the world. It represents the non-believer who is sparing and rejecting the only person who can give him happiness. And you are without Christ, you walk according to your own way, not according to Christ who is the way. But I want to just mention that when you read the text, this is the second time actually in the letter to the Hebrews that Esau is mentioned. Earlier, back in chapter 11, verse 20, we see there he's mentioned with his brother, Jacob. But interestingly, nothing wrong is said about Jacob's wrongdoing. And we know Jacob is a tricker. He's a manipulator. He's a cheater. That's the meaning of his name. But we read nothing wrong about Jacob throughout the New Testament. And when you go back to Genesis chapter 28, you find the conversion of Jacob, how he found the Lord Jesus Christ, and he strived to enter, even if it was in a manipulative way, even if it was in a cheating way. The most important, according to the word of God, we have to strive to enter. And Jacob did that, and he found salvation. But now, I want to speak really about Esau. Don't be like Esau. Because Esau, contrary to believers, contrary to Jacob, was somebody who lived for self, only self. What mattered for Esau was what he can feel, what he can touch, what he can see, what he can handle, what he can smell, what he can eat, and what he can drink. Oh, you don't need me to tell you, this is exactly our world. Our world is living just for the here and now. What do you see in the world? Do we want God? Do we want to have fellowship with God? No, we want instant satisfaction immediately and instant gratification. I want it. I want to be happy. Give it to me and give it to me right now. I don't need to wait. Why should I wait? Impatience is what characterizes really our world. Give it to me right now. And it doesn't matter the consequences. No, this is, I don't care about the consequences. Give it to me right now, no matter what is the cost. Oh, my dear friends, before I come really to the text, may I say to you that a man or a woman or a child, a teenager or a senior without Christ will never be fulfilled. You ask the people of the world, I want to be fulfilled. I want to be a realized man. I want to be an achieved man. Look at my realizations, my achievements, my pedigree, my prowess. But may I say again, as I read the word of God, there will never be satisfaction and fulfillment for a man without the Lord Jesus Christ. Actually, the man may think he's a winner, but according to the Bible, he's a loser. Do you want to be a loser? A man without Christ, a woman without Christ is a loser. But may I speak to you with interrogations, with questions? Do you want to have fellowship with God? Do you want your sins to be forgiven? Do you want to be a happy person, a better person? Do you want to enter with a great entrance? It is a biblical word, expression in 2 Peter chapter 1, that a great entrance will be given to you into the kingdom of God. Do you want that? Do you want your sins to be forgiven? Do you want God to answer your prayers? Don't be like Esau. I have five very simple things as I consider this text. Here they are. The first thing I want to put before you, let us look at the person of Esau. Who is he? Then we look at, secondly, his character. Thirdly, his actions. Fourthly, his loss. Oh, the pain, the tragedy of his loss. What the agony, what he lost was agonizing. It is terrible what he lost. And fifthly, let us look, what about us, you and me tonight? So look the text. It's all here before us. Now, the development of the person of Esau, that's why in our first reading, I read Genesis chapter 25. There are many chapters really consecrated to Esau, but few words just for you to know what kind of person Esau was. And as we read from Genesis chapter 25, Esau was the elder brother twin of Jacob. They were twins, but he was the one who was born first. And we read there in Genesis chapter 25 that Esau was a cunning hunter, a shrewd hunter. And in verse 27, still in Genesis 25, he made his father very proud of him. The father was very proud to have such a son who was a hunter, a valiant hunter. And being a hunter, this is a man who hunted whatever he wanted. No restriction, unrestrained man. That's what you have to understand about Esau. But Esau, we read also, was a man of the field. He was an outdoor man, valiant, vigorous, maybe athletic, maybe a sportman. And we read elsewhere that he was a hairy man. You know, in the Old Testament, in New Testament times also, when somebody is hairy and qualified as such, it means he was a strong man. So this is a man with great potential. But even more, oh, this is the sweet part, if there is anything sweet about him. And this should shiver you. If you have ever heard the gospel or you are born in a Christian home, this is a man who is born in a godly home. You know who are his parents? Isaac and Rebekah. Godly Isaac, godly Rebekah were his parents. We read that even in Hebrews chapter 11, Isaac is mentioned there. And whatever Isaac did in blessing Jacob, he did it by faith. But guess what? This is the grandson of Abraham and Sarah, the father and the mother of believers. So he was a man of great potential. And he married many wives, which was not really the ideal, what God wanted even in the Old Testament. He permitted it, but it was not what God wanted, the ideal. But he married many wives with many children. And his wives, for somebody being born in a godly home, he took wives among pagan nations. And we read in Genesis chapter 26 that these women, these wives, brought great grief into the lives of his parents. So they brought bitterness and sorrow in his parents, in Esau's parents' life. But just to say one more thing about his person, Esau became a great nation. And that nation, when you read throughout the Old Testament, the Edomites, that's really what Esau offspring became later. And some people even believe that Herod, you know Herod, the Herods in the New Testament, the Antichrist, Herod, the first one who didn't want another king by coming into the throne, and he had to kill so many children so that there will be nobody on his way upon his kingship. Herod is from Esau. All non-believers are from Esau, really, to put it simply. But look at second, not only his person, but his character. It is here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16. There are two words there to qualify the vices. He was a fornicator. He was a profane person. Profane person. He gambled his life willingly by his own choice. My dear friends, may I tell you what the word profane means? Maybe you are a non-believer tonight. This is what God says about you. You are a profane person. To be profane is to be ungodly. It is to be godless. It is to be reckless. It is to be morally corrupt. It is to be spiritually bankrupt. That's the meaning of profane. Another way to understand profane, it means to be wide open, accessible to everything. Every idol can come in, every filth can come in, every pollution can come in. It's like a wide house open from every window and from every door. No restriction. Profane. What does profane mean? Profane means to be insane. It means to be worldly. It means to be light, no substance. God created us to be substantial people, deep people, meaningful people, significant people, people who have wisdom, who have fellowship with God, who instead of being interested in worldly, earthly things, have a higher view about things that are in the next life to come. But we want only the here and now. This is to be profane. To be profane is to be frivolous. To be profane is to be flirting with the world, caressing the world, being casual. But being profane means also to take holy and precious things and to despise them. This is what you see from Esau. He was a profane person. My dear friends, you know, to be a profane person is to be a common man. Common man, just like anyone else. That's why conversion is so important. You become distinctive. You become different because God is in you. God dwells in you. You receive the forgiveness of sins. And you will enter in heaven because Christ has paid the price for that. Esau was also a fornicator. The word fornicator, the Greek word is the word, we know it, it's in English. It is the word porneo, pornus. Meaning what? This is the new morality. Sensual. What do I want? I want only my sensual happiness. I want only my body satisfaction, nothing else. That's why we said from the beginning, a profane person what only count what he touches, what he sees, what he feels, what he smells, what he eats and drinks. Earthly person. So this is what Esau is all about. His belly is his God. His pleasure, his comfort is really what matters for him. Nothing else, no spiritual. He was a man of the field, we are told. Even that says a lot about his character. A man of the field, meaning what? He was an earthly, selfish person who preferred to love darkness instead of light. And he preferred death instead of life. But let me speak about his action. I hope you are following his person. We saw him. His character, you can see it here. He's a profane man. He's a fornicator. And you know, when you are a fornicator, spiritually, we are speaking spiritually, and you are a profane person, certainly, by extension, you become an idolater, and you will violate and break every one of the Ten Commandments of God. But thirdly, look at his action. The verse tells us here, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. The Greek again, the word sold there is gave away. He gave it away. He traded it away for a morsel of meat. Meat here represents really the generic word for food. That's why I said his belly, his body is on. This is the world. Exactly what the world lives for. My belly, my pleasure, my comfort. This is what is important. This is what is paramount and crucial. Nothing else for the soul. My dear friends, we could spend really the rest of the night speaking about the importance of the birthright. But may I just highlight a few things for you. The birthright was considered in the Old Testament to be sacred. Sacred. Especially for the firstborn. The firstborn, when the father dies, he was considered to be the priest of the home, and he will lead the family into worship. And elsewhere, as you know, the firstborn, the elder brother of the family, is even entitled to a double portion of the inheritance. But to make it simple, the birthright led to a great status in the family, and it led to promises, to privileges, and to blessings. But let me come back to Esau. Oh, you remember in Genesis chapter 25, Esau was coming back from the field. The hunter came back to the home empty-handed that day. He caught nothing. The shrewd hunter, the expert hunter, oh, that day came back home without meat. And he smelled. Jacob was the chef. I don't know why he was the chef, but anyway, he was the chef on that occasion, if it's the providence of God. And here is Esau coming to Jacob, and oh, what I smelled. He's saying, I'm at the point to die. Oh, my dear friends, I hope you see this is a big lie. For a hunter, for a strong man, one day without food, you won't die. It won't kill you. By the way, this is a man who comes from a well-to-do family. I'm sure, in my little knowledge, there must be some dry meat, some dry cheese, some milk, and some bread. Why are you so hungry and impatient not to wait until maybe the pottage, actually, the stew or the morsel of meat was cooked as a meal for the family? Why are you impatient? And normally, when Jacob said to him, sell me your birthright, he could have said to Jacob, are you a fool? How could I do that? Like Joseph said. Joseph said to the wife of Potiphar, how could I do that and grieve God and offend God? He should have said the same. But because he's a profane man, he didn't take anything seriously. He was casual. So you see, in his action, he sold his birthright for a morsel of meat. My dear friends, there is another example we find in the Bible. You know the person, Judas. He sold his master for 30 pieces of silver. Why? That was the price of a slave. May I ask you before we proceed, how much do you value your life? How much do you value your soul? In his place, in Esau's place, I will not for a morsel of meat, but if it was a buffet, yes, if it was a buffet, then I will be more attracted, let's say, humanly speaking. Or if it was gold and silver or diamond, then I will be really tempted. But for a morsel of meat, for a stew, for a pottage, for lentils, I will sell the most precious thing that my family, my parents have given to me. Oh, this is foolishness. But how much will you value your soul? How much will you value the Lord Jesus Christ? Esau had everything. You know, this is a man. He had everything. He was rich. I know today we explain riches about how much you have, how much money or how much gold you have. But in that time, your riches are valued about how many camels you have, how many goats you have, how many sheep you have, how many cows you have, how many donkeys you have. And he was a rich man. He had everything. But he died, and his life came to an end as a miserable pauper, miserable spiritually pauper. Oh, my dear friends, don't be like Esau. Esau lost everything. He gave up his right, the only thing that was his. And he died the end of his life. The rest of his life, actually, you find a man with bitterness and frustration. But now, look at what he lost. His loss, fourthly. So we spoke about his person, his character, his action. And now, please, just few minutes to detain you. Look at what the great loss, the agony, the pain of what he has lost. What did he lose? His shipwreck, his life, his life. He jeopardized his life. He shrouded his shoulders by saying, why do I need the Lord for? And he did not care for his soul. That's the point we are making here. He lost his own soul. He sold his soul for something cheap, for something insignificant, for vanity. What a foolish man. Don't be like Esau. It's not helpful to you. And look at the verse here. We are told in verse 17, for we know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. My dear friends, you have to understand this verse. Really, you have to understand this verse. You know, he did not sought personal and genuine repentance. But the word repentance here is related to the change of mind of his father. That's the meaning. Nobody, my dear friends, there are some Christians, and I met some of them. They told me, I am like Esau, I just could not repent. Please never read like that. There is nobody who earnestly really wants to repent, and he is unable to do so. The repentance here is in relation to him pleading with his father, because the word repentance, the meaning also is to change the mind. He wanted his father to change his mind, but he did not personally, genuinely sought for repentance. That's the meaning. You know the problem? His tears, though he sought for that repentance, the change of mind of his father with tears, but his tears were not about what he did, but it was only about what he lost. That's the difference. And you see that many times in the world. He was sorrowful about, not about the blessing. He was sorrowful really about the blessing, but he did not regret his own sin. What was the sin he committed? He sold his birthright for a morsel of meat. Oh, my dear friends, Esau is like many in our world today. I want God. I love God. But I love a God who only does things for me and give me things to make me happy. But I do not bother if I really love him or I want fellowship with him. That's the whole idea behind what Esau was thinking. My dear friends, it's not that he could not repent, but he did not want to repent. If you come to the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance and faith, he will never cast you away. We read that in the Word of God. Oh, my dear friends, this is so important. What a cost, what a price, what a loss to have pleasure for a short moment, just for a moment, the pleasure of a moment. He was not like Moses. I don't have time to read for you the verses, but when you go back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25 and 26, Moses got everything with Pharaoh in Egypt. He could have stayed there in the best universities, having everything he wanted. But he said he preferred the poverty with the people of God than the riches that he will get with Pharaoh. And that's why he left with the people of God. But Esau was not like Moses. Oh, my dear friends, this is so important. Sin is like food. It is like food. You know, food satisfies you. I'm sure when you have a nice meal, just think about the nicest meal if you are a good eater. Think about it. And it satisfies you for a short time and then it's gone. My brothers and sisters, a little folly can lead a person to hell. Little folly. So that's why sin is never small. People are flippant. They play with it. But sin is never small. Take it seriously. Now I come to the last element. What about us? What about you and me tonight? Are you an Esau? What will you exchange your life? Will you bargain your life with nothing? Esau squandered all things that have a value. All things that have a value. Unlike Jacob, you know, Jacob, so undeserving. Remember Jacob, he was a manipulator, a tricker, a cheater, and so on. But he strived to enter in the blessing of God. And guess what? Jacob's name is mentioned in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jacob was a saved person. My dear friends, you know what the world tells us to do? You want it? Have it. Have it right now. Enjoy sin. Enjoy pleasure. Don't think about the consequences. It's like many advertisements. We read them every day. They tell you, buy today and pay later. You will pay for it. We have a great salvation. Don't barter it. Don't barter it. Don't exchange it to anything in this world. Oh, may I close by giving you some applications here that are so important for your soul. I hope this will be helpful to you. What is the morsel of meat or action that is taking you away from the Lord, that you are able to forfeit eternity with God, heaven, the forgiveness of? What is the action that is taking you away from God? Is it a man? Is it a woman? Is it a career? Is it a family? Is it education? Is it your friends? You know, some of us, our friends may be telling us, oh, look at him. He became a Christian. And they scorn you. They laugh at you. And that is the morsel of meat for which you are willing to jeopardize your soul. What is that morsel of meat? Second, the second thing I want you to remember, For Esau, the blessing was an earthly blessing. But in Christ, the blessing he will give you when you come to him. This is amazing for me. The blessing he will give you is a life-transforming blessing. It will transform your life. It is permanent. It is lasting. It is eternal. It is divine. It is heavenly. It is spiritual. You become a saint. But thirdly, for Esau, the father rejected him because there was only one blessing. Only one. Later, he couldn't give him any because there was only one. But you see, when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, he said so in John chapter 6, he will never cast away anyone who comes to him by faith. And the blessing, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, he will bless you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. But fourthly, there was only one blessing and Esau missed it. But my friends, there is only one Savior. One Savior. Don't miss him and don't delay your repentance. But fifthly, Esau here, we are told in verse 17, he found no place for repentance. You know, there is a place for repentance for every sinner. May I tell you what is that place? It is the cross of Calvary. You come to the Lord Jesus Christ. There he shed his blood. There he suffered that agony, indescribable agony for every sinner. You come to him, you receive the forgiveness of sins, you receive the cleansing from every iniquity, and guess what? He makes of you a child of God. But sixthly, remember, this blessing will only be given to you after salvation is secured. People want, bless me, Lord. But first of all, the greatest blessing you are to seek after is the blessing of salvation. When you have that, John chapter 10, verse 27 and 28, Christ said, no man can pluck you out of his hand. So your salvation will be eternal and forever. But look, there is one more I want to put before you. Christ is our elder brother. And he gave his life so that you and me can have the forgiveness of our sins. He shared with us his life. He shared with us his inheritance. My dear friends, there is no price to put on salvation. Eternity with God, forgiveness of sin, grace upon grace, blessing upon blessing, answer to prayer. Oh, the morsel of meat has nothing to do in comparison with the jewels God will give you when you come to him in repentance and faith. Don't sell your soul for a tinsel toy in comparison to eternal blessings. What will be the epitaph people will write on your grave when life comes to an end? He was like Esau. But my dear friends, Christian life is not about forsaking happiness. But Christian life is about forsaking sin for the ultimate happiness. That's what we have to understand. Come to the Lord. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Yield your life to him before it's too late. While he can be found. Don't be like Esau. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we come to thee. O Lord, we trust, we believe that thy word is powerful and it will do its work now in sinners' life to bring them to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, we pray for thy blessing upon thy word. We beseech thee, Lord. O Lord, come in mighty power even now and bless each one of us throughout this night and throughout this coming week. In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.